whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, my baby, my darling. Am I going to embarrass you now with all your fans out there?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I talked to my mom last night. Oh, hey, by the way, it's crossover time.
I saw her on Facebook today. And
she's never off Facebook.
She looked amazing. She's 90.
We're friends. No, please. 87.
My bad.
The crossover is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Let's welcome in Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. It is the crossover.
I didn't mean to jump the read, and I apologize again.
I got it right.
I saw her on Facebook with a couple of former students who are like your age, my age, and she's, you know, glowing. Your mom's amazing.
She's all right.
87. She's more than all right.
She's all right. She's solid. She's solid.
Mary's a favorite of the show.
She's elite.
So get this. 2 days ago, go out and get the Christmas tree. And
real or fake?
Real.
Okay.
We have one of each. We put a fake one up in the same place, and then we get a real one.
Which one's in the front room?
The real one.
Okay.
And
it's a beautiful room, Mark, with like vaulted ceilings. It's wonderful.
You had me at second room. I'm like, wow, Rich. All right, go ahead.
Well, lovely home, and his front room has probably 14-foot ceilings, perfect for a Nerf hoop court.
It's really good for a Nerf hoop court.
Yeah, and so the front room tree is probably a 9 or a 10-footer.
Yet my 10-year-old hasn't been invited over yet. Anyway, you're trying to tell a story. Go ahead.
I can't let him.
Yeah. There's really not much of a story, except I got to go home and get the tree up today because I tried to do it Sunday, and I just couldn't get it up. Oh, God. Jesus.
Cut that.
Yes. I'm out.
Thank you. Yes. 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 Yes.
I was waiting until.
That is so good that just happened. I'm very excited about that.
I couldn't get the tree up.
Yeah, too late.
Remember the other week when
Ken's working.
Remember when you were talking about, like, if it's ever your turn to get laid off, that's it? You're out of the business?
Sure.
You're never out of the business now. That will be played on Bay Area Sports Radio in the year 2088.
Oh, it's gold.
It'll be played tomorrow, I can tell you that.
Yep. I told you the one time.
Wow.
Right. I'm trying, you know how you have the screws at the bottom that you got to screw into the base of the tree?
Yes.
I feel like the base of this tree isn't solid enough.
Mm.
It's like rotting a little bit.
Oh, that's
so it's not holding.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Do you have little spikes at the bottom too?
Yes.
Okay. But I already, like.
Okay.
Yeah. I yelled at my tree. I got it, but my kids were laughing at me because I yelled at it because, it's in like an Eminem song. You got one shot. You got one shot to get the tree in center. If you put it over on like one spike of the three spikes, now the screws don't reach it. It's going to fall over. It's a big mess.
It's awful.
And the kids don't want to help. They want to laugh at you.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And I want to get that thing up so bad.
I mean, just.
And I'd love for it to be up.
It just doesn't end.
When people come home to see it.
Oh,
all right, I'm done. My work is done here.
You're damn right it is.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
It was gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Still not to the point where I have a Christmas tree. Or if it is, it's got to be plastic. I think that's probably what most of my friends are doing. The real trees, it's just too much of a hassle. Also, a lot of people don't have cars in the city, so you gotta borrow stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when I was living in the East Bay.
If you do want to get a fake tree, and I don't really like the term because the tree is real in terms of the emotion that you get from the tree, invest in a good one.
Okay.
And shout out King of Christmas, which is where I got my tree 3 years ago. The first one I got was from Target, which was, it was good, but you know, eventually, this string of lights goes, and then this goes, and that goes. King of Christmas, really high quality artificial trees.
Is that the one right off Moraga Road? There's a place that sells Christmas trees every time I go to St. Mary's College. That's right there.
Yes.
Yeah, that place is fantastic.
That place is an absolute money-making machine. That thing went up like November 1st, and trees are flying out of there.
When is it acceptable to put up a Christmas tree in your guys' expert opinions. You mean
like on the calendar? Like
yeah.
What date?
Does it have to be after Thanksgiving?
I tried to do it Sunday, and I just couldn't get it up.
For me, it does. For me, it does.
Keep it on the short list.
I got members of the family that won't even allow Christmas music until after Thanksgiving, which I reject. But that's them. But yeah, I would never put up a tree before Thanksgiving, but not because it's any rule. It's just going to die before Christmas. But when to do it has a lot to do with when Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving was so late this year that I know a lot of people went and got their Christmas tree that weekend. Like after the Thursday of Thanksgiving, it was December by the time we got back to work. People were like, let's do this. Let's do this right now. We're here. We're in the holiday spirit. We're off work. Let's ride. So we did it Monday following Thanksgiving. And it's about the earliest I've ever done it, I think.
The problem I'm having is, so you put the tree on its side, and then you put the base on, but then every time you tilt it, then the base comes off on the one side, because you can't lift the whole tree up.
Yes, you can. That's how I do it. That's
how?
What I'm saying.
It's too heavy.
No, it's not. What do you mean?
He's got a 10-footer.
Well, then that's your problem.
And he can't get it up.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But what I tried to do it Sunday, and I just couldn't get it up.
You know what? Grow up.
Sonny, your tree is too big. How about that?
Have you guys ever tried having the tree on its side and using a rubber mallet? Smack the
rubber mallet.
That's what I'm going to try to do. By the way, we have John Sally on tomorrow.
No way.
John Sally. Yeah, he's coming on tomorrow.
You better be back tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, who did you think it was when it actually was John Sally?
It'd be amazing if it was.
I thought it was John Fogerty.
That's right.
Well, he said next time he was bringing Fogerty because apparently they're neighbors.
That was the most unbelievable part.
That's what doesn't. I mean,
we're going to get clarification tomorrow.
I can't even. The story just never. It keeps getting better. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Anyway,
I got John Sally mixed up. Well, the boss got John Sally mixed up with John Fogerty. And then I told it to John Sally, and he goes, John Fogerty's my neighbor. And we kind of let it, I'm like, get out of here. He said, no, he is. But I don't know if he was telling the truth or not.
That's true. We're going to find out tomorrow.
Yeah. Who should the Warriors go out and get?
I do like this Brooklyn idea.
John Sally.
That's starting to percolate.
Schroeder?
Well, not just Schroeder. I think that Cam Johnson is a wonderful idea. That makes all the sense in the world to me. I know that, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith is a name that's come up. That's a little bit of a throw in to the potential deal, but it's not that it doesn't work. He'll knock down a shot, do some things that the Warriors need. I guess my question is who's going in the other direction? Those three names for Brooklyn add up to $50 million. What does Brooklyn actually want? Do they want Kuminga or do they just want draft capital? I don't know. I played on the ESPN trade machine this morning. Oh. I think we were obligated to do so. This works. Melton, Wiggins, Payton, and Waters. That works. That's just throwing in some numbers that make it work. But I don't think that they can do a deal where Wiggins and Kuminga are both going unless you're getting somebody really, really effective coming back the other direction. But I don't know. Like, I guess we've been fed for a number of weeks now that the Warriors are big game hunting. And I think I'm becoming a little bit more comfortable with the idea of mid-game hunting. I think that they need to make a trade, but the name value thing, giving up Kuminga or Wiggins for Jimmy Butler, no thanks.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on Jimmy Butler. He's 35, Dibs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that you actually, Evan, were great earlier talking about how he has told Miami that he would opt out. I don't know if I necessarily believe him if he comes here, and if he opts in, that scares me. And if he doesn't opt in and he wants a new contract and you end up getting nothing for him, if he does opt out and then you get nothing, and I know you get the salary slot, and that was great that you mentioned that earlier because I hadn't thought of that, but I would rather have a team this year that has a chance to compete and you still retain more of that financial flexibility next year.
Yeah, again, I was trying to make the case for it because I just think it's interesting when you see the name, you're like Jimmy Butler Warriors, I feel like it doesn't make a lot of sense, but there has to be a reason. And I feel like we've been trying to figure that out all day. Like, what? Why now? What's the reason of why the Warriors are connected to all of these different teams or players. And I'm with you, Willard. I think it ends up being a lot like what happened this summer, where the Warriors are involved with Paul George or involved with Lauri Markkanen, and they end up with Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and DeAnthony Melton. And that has actually turned out to be probably the correct choice. So I just don't understand why, again, with everything that they've done this summer that's helped them get to the place where they are, that we're back to, well, they need a star.
Well, I will answer that thought this way, because they're still not good enough. They're still not, and I don't think they think they're good enough.
But Jimmy Butler doesn't get them to, even if they could somehow magically do it and keep who they need to, I don't know if that makes them a championship team.
I don't know either. I don't know what's in the stew of a potential trade, but I do understand that in the fourth quarter of basketball games, they feel like they need somebody who they can give the ball to who can go get them a bucket. And I don't think that they fully feel like they've got that right now, especially when they might be shorthanded. So they're shorthanded in people who can handle the ball and start things on offense and find their own shot and all that. So to a degree, I understand the allure of a Jimmy Butler type skill set. That one doesn't necessarily make sense to me, because it's too old and too expensive for what you'd have to give up.
And as it relates to Kuminga, hold on a second. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And I'll say the last week with Jonathan Kuminga, you know, I've said you got to be real careful if you're going to end up moving him, because he's still only 22. And I got to say, the last, you know, two of those last three games that he's played, I'd be lying if I said that an impression hasn't been made on me a little bit. And it doesn't, you know, look, let's face it, great against Houston, terrible against Minnesota, not terrible, but good, bad, good.
Yep.
And like, I'm kind of willing to live with that with him, if that's the way you're going to use him this year, knowing, yeah, you're not going to win them all. And he may have some growing pains in the process. But I mean, it's just starting to really hit me over the head that this guy's only 22 still. You know what I mean? And he's not a complete player, and he still has some weaknesses, but boy, I just would hate to not be a good team in 2 years and not have him, and he's playing on another team, and it's like, man, he's pretty good.
It's interesting, though, because the conundrum that you're facing is, if he really is a guy that you love, well, then you're going to have to pay him probably 35 or 40 or 45 a year in the offseason, and is that something that you want to do? And if you believe that he can be your number one in 3 years, in 4 years, in 5 years, then okay, you go ahead and do that. But that really kind of hamstrings your ability to do anything else. If you make no moves and you keep this team and you ride the year out, and then Kuminga plays great, and then he's up for a deal, and some team offers him, you know, $5 and $200, and you think, man, 40 a year, we really want to keep him, and you give him $40 million a year. Well, now that's your player and that's your guy. And so I do think it becomes difficult, unless you are totally sold on him being your future number one. I don't know if you can afford to keep him in the offseason.
Well, I think that's why they're kind of standing pat for now, and I expect them to. But also, I think that's kind of the money that Kuminga wanted this summer anyways. So the Warriors were in a position like, if you are, go out and prove it. And maybe at the end of the day, we'll pay you that money. But I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. I would rather give someone like Jonathan Kuminga $35 or $40 million a year than pay Brandon Ingram $50, which is what he reportedly wants.
Agreed.
I'm absolutely with you there. Like,
but what about getting, you know, paying Cam Johnson $23 or $24, which is what he's making? You know, and he's on a three-year deal?
I think he's got a year after this, a year or two.
Okay. Yeah,
and he's at a good price. But I also saw what the Nets just got for Mikal Bridges, who is not even a prominent featured player in New York. And so I feel like, yes, the idea of Cam Johnson would be great, but I think he'd be far more expensive than what people just assume that he already is.
I mean, the thing with Kuminga that I never really understood was, there was a report that he and the Warriors were far apart. And so I thought, okay, well, he wants 50 and they want 30. And then I hear, you know, Kuminga wanted 35 to 40. Well, that's not that far apart, really, as far as I'm thinking. Like, if you could sign, you can't sign him right now, but At 35? I'm probably giving him 35.
Well, I think the Kuminga conversation is the one that you still can play out. Like, I sort of feel like all this Warrior trade talk has been split into two different things. Cam Johnson, by the way, has two more years after this one.
Yeah.
At a total of $45 million. So you'd get him for 21.5 and then 23.5 after this year if you were to acquire him. But anyway, I think the conversation has been split into two things. We've been hearing all offseason, the big game hunting. We need a star, need a star, need a star. Then Melton got hurt. And now it's also, it's not just we need a star, we need a new Melton. We need somebody who can do what we brought him in here to do. And that's handle the ball, back up Steph Curry, you know, get a team into its offense late in the game, be a glue person. And so now there could be two deals. And so there could be, let's find the Melton replacement ASAP, and then let's get 2.5 or 2+ more months of information on Jonathan Kuminga in this role before you decide what you want to do with him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with doing it that way. The one thing I was telling Evan, and tell me if you agree with it, and we've talked a lot about DeAnthony Melton, and yes, he was good for 6 games, and I said, well, you know, how can you really miss that? But what's interesting to me is, had Melton not gotten hurt, and that was who he was, how is Pods going to play? You know what I mean?
He wasn't playing as much. He wasn't.
And so, like, that's kind of unusual to me, too, is, okay, you're going to go out and get Dennis Schroeder. Well, I thought Pods was your guy. You know what I mean? This, how can, like, if he was supposedly untouchable and you think he's a future all-star, well, he wasn't going to play if Melton stayed healthy and was playing like he was playing.
Oh.
And so why are you going out to get Dennis Schroeder?
Well, I think that's okay because you have two more years of Pods making $2 million.
That's true.
Yeah, that you said future. If you think he's a future all-star, but this is right. This is about now.
I do think there might be something to Steve Kerr looking at this team and saying, we got to get somebody better than Pods right now. Like, well, I think that's possible.
And somebody better than TJD, and somebody better than Kevon Looney, and somebody better than a lot of guys, honestly.
Looney's been playing great.
Yeah, He's been great.
I don't have an issue with Looney.
But I don't either. But if you want to look at the roster, and you've got Steph and Draymond and Wiggins, and then you've got players 4 through 11 who are all, you know, you're good now, you're not good now, you're playing well, you're not playing well. Buddy Hield's a great example. Buddy was unbelievable, and then he was god-awful, and well, now Buddy's back. And so,
is that a good game? Yeah,
right. Nice but what game. Does that mean for the next week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks? I mean, outside of Steph and Draymond, you haven't had a lot of consistency.
I actually don't look at the Looney. I know TJD's been really frustrating of late, but I don't look at that position as what the Warriors need to fill or upgrade. I see whatever Melton was scheduled to do, that skill set that needs to be handled. And then you probably need somebody who is able to get their own shot and score the basketball in a half court defensive set late in a basketball game. I don't really like. I know everyone always wants a big guy. You can get a big guy, but you know, we yelled that they did at the trade deadline 3 years ago that they didn't have a big guy, and then they won a ring. So I like they can win with Kevon Looney.
Yeah, I mean,
they already have.
But, and they might also be able to add another like rim protector.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I think there's players out there that are relatively cheap that they can try and acquire. You know, I see this team throwing out these big names and being in on everybody, and then just kind of trimming the hedges at the deadline. And maybe that's what ends up helping them. You know, Dallas obviously did that last year and wanted to run, but they had two established stars in the building that basically just needed a little bit of help. But the Warriors are trying to, it seems, do or is basically upgrade a bunch of parts of this roster. And I don't really know if that's realistic. So as far as trying to find a half court late game score, you know, are you better served condensing 4 or 5 players and going out to get that guy? I don't necessarily think so. I think they're better off just waiting and figuring out if they can do that internally, because if they can't, well, then you're not a player away anyways. Like if it turns out that this season is more like the 6-7 stretch than the 12 out of 15 stretch that they went on, well, then why would you go acquire a big name star anyways? Like to me, you go and get a running mate for Steph if you figure out that's the player that you are away from contending. And I don't know if we know if this roster is good enough to contend with an extra player like that.
No, but we may know more in February.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I don't think the big game idea is now. I just don't think that's a December question. I think right now the Warriors would like to at least maximize what they currently have, and they don't feel now like they can do that without what D'Anthony Melton was scheduled to do. So I think that like, to me, why we're hearing this now and this Brooklyn thing is because that's the thing that would scratch. They're going to try to see if they can fill that role while staying flexible for, are we contenders this year? And if we're not, you know, then what's available come February that's really big.
And I agree. It's probably not the time to make the trade, but this is the time to start talking about trades you may make. You know what I mean?
Well, it takes a while.
And exactly. And so
trades are hard.
They are hard.
I mean, they are really hard.
Yeah, they're really hard.
Yeah, they pulled off a 6-team trade in the offseason, so.
Just like the tree, can't get it up.
That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me interrupt with this fascinating and phenomenal news.
Oh. No way they traded somebody. No.
Jimmy Butler.
No. Willie Adames has passed his physical.
Okay.
He's passed his physical. He's actually going to play. He's going to play shortstop for the Giants.
Now for a couple years.
Oh. Anyway. Press conference scheduled.
All right. Yep. Hey, by the way, Kyle Shanahan talked to the media. They practice later today, the 49ers.
They do?
Yeah. But Isaac Garendo won't practice, according to Kyle Shanahan.
Neither will Nick Bosa or Trent Williams.
But it's a walkthrough.
They won without him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's just, you know,
getting a walk through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Getting into the red zone stuff.
So that means Garendo will not have practice before the game if he plays.
Well, no. Tomorrow there is still. I don't think the designations. I think come out today, right? They come out tonight.
All right.
The injury designations
2 days before, yeah.
Questionable, whatever. Yeah. I think they come out today, but it's a different kind of a week because it's Thursday. So, no, I he indicated yesterday, Garendo was very unlikely to do anything today, but that it did not mean that he was not going to play Thursday.
All right.
Next man up.
That's going to do it. Do you have any guests today? Or
We do.
Oh, okay.
Steiny?
Sure.
We do. First of all, Mark Schlereth is coming on the show.
Okay.
Always with all the injuries, Doc Pandya, and I will say unconfirmed but hopeful something Well, we're big game hunting, Steiny. So, hopeful that something.
I know who I think it is.
Warrior related.
Oh, now I'm wrong.
On a large level. It's not Willie Adames.
That's who I thought it might be. A Warrior guy.
No. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We are working.
Is it going to be Jimmy Butler?
Which Warrior would you want to talk to, Steiny?
Any of them?
Well, take out Steph and Draymond. And Wiggins.
Yeah, because you're not turning 70 today.
I'll tell you the guy I think's a great interview is Kyle Anderson.
Mm.
I like Kyle Anderson a lot.
Okay.
Trying to think who else. Buddy Hield would be upbeat, would be very upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Pods is already booked on four other interview shows, so you probably won't be able to get him.
Pods is already coming on at 2:30 and 3:30.
Right.
So, I can get two sentences out of him. Wiggins would be a top one.
Keep going because you
Trace Jackson Davis. No, I'm out on.
No,
you haven't yet gotten to the name that I want more than any other name.
How come you're not playing?
Gary Payton is second.
Payton?
No, keep going.
It's kind of weird that you haven't guessed this.
Moody? Yet. Kuminga?
Jonathan Kuminga. Let's talk to Jonathan Kuminga.
You know what? Good luck. I think he's better in a face-to-face interview than a phone interview. Now, is he coming in here?
I believe they're in Houston.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We're not going to give that away.
With that kind of connection.
I told you we were working on something big, Steiny.
Right.
Something big.
Hey. Don't go anywhere, everybody.
Where are they working on it?
Keep it on 95.7 again.
Mm-hmm.